Today's podcast from retired travel writer and commentator Jake the Writer is on travel through America. But I've had to add a few words of advice for Barack Obama on his interference in the British referendum on the European Union. Buddy, you ain't doing Bro Cameron any favours. In fact, it would help him more if you not only kept your advice to the British people to yourself, but you stayed away until after Independence Day. I call it, In God They Trust. It says so on the dollar bill. The United States is a country that challenges the world traveller to adjust to its scale. Little slumdog children in India are told tales that its streets are paved in gold. Cartoon books the world over mock the culture's lack of refinement. Newspapers around the world speculate on the effects of the American administration. Incredible landscapes hidden throughout the vast continental mass counterpoise the endless parade of Walmarts and McDonald's. And while every preconception one has about the US of A is valid, the challenge to the traveller is to accept this country for its gems. And here the gems are the brightest and largest. And as Americans will tell you, we're number one. America, doubtless, is the first world. And yet a visit to Katrina-devastated New Orleans or the jaggedly backwards Appalachia makes one wonder whether the term first world even had any meaning. In this land of the free, you had better not drink until you reach 21 years of age. The richest nation in the world does not provide its citizens proper affordable health care, and it has the highest proportion of lawyers and jailed criminals per capita. All things are best in America, but money does the talking. In fact, it does all the talking. The poor backpacker scrounging to try and see the country on the cheap is likely to be treated like something the dog left on the pavement. But for those with pluck, a thick skin, or a little money saved, the United States opens her doors. For such a large country, America has an appalling sameness and a very monotonous culture, from east to west, thanks mostly to the national television. And yet, there are quite a few states that are like separate countries in themselves, such as California, Texas, New England, among many. The East Coast, boasting a sprawling mega metropolis from Boston to Washington, carries such a sense of urgency in the atmosphere, and there is no doubt something always going on in the city. The South, with its Bible Belt states like Alabama and Mississippi, slow down the pace a lot, and race hangs heavy in the air. Along the Pacific, the new braver breed of people, with no history to speak of, cling to their mountain bikes or Louis Vuitton handbags, depending on their personal market-influenced consumer choice. And somewhere buried in all of this, perhaps invisible to the naked eye, is the heartbeat of a fresh continent that existed here even before the natives came tens of thousands of years ago. This is the land of Walt Whitman's plaintive singing, the land where technological marvels continually spring up in unlikely places, and the country of highways carries such solitude that Bob Dylan and Jack Kerouac canonized them. The struggle for equality continues in the States too. And for every Bush and Nixon, you have a John F. Kennedy and a Martin Luther King Jr. to impart some hope. Echoes of the spirit of the 60s can be heard, and a time in history as powerful as any. When I listened to Obama's Yes We Can speech, I thought that there is hope. If he can impress a white, dyed-in-the-wool English Tory like me, I thought that he must have something. But like virtually every politician, it turned out that it was mostly smoke and mirrors. He, like an old girlfriend, promised much and performed little. I read somewhere, probably in a Republican newspaper, that Barack Obama is close to having played more rounds of golf since 2009 than Tiger Woods. Unlike me, who has an opinion about everything, I'm not going to put my nose into American politics. They appear to be a mystery even to most Americans, and to this Brit they will stay that way. And while I make that statement, I'm equally certain that British and European politics, and even world politics, are an equal mystery to Barack Obama. In fact, during his first term of office, he took such little interest in world affairs, we were even wondering whether, like very many Americans, he even possessed a passport. This being the case, no one in this country can begin to imagine why he is getting involved in our referendum. In actual fact, if he imagines that he is doing Bro Cameron a favour, let me tell him that his intervention in a matter that does not concern him will probably be the straw that broke the camel's back for the Remain In team. That's the end of my political rant. Yes, the United States has much to offer for the traveller to see and attempt to understand. The vistas of the Grand Canyon are as mysterious as Mona Lisa's smile. The city of Las Vegas that rose out of the desert is so artificial and enveloping. Los Angeles destroys pedestrians. The Great Plains are as flat as a pancake, literally. The list could go on indefinitely. Hated for its imperialism and ignorance, America is still a great country and worthy of a traveller's time. You will all hear stories of rude US customs and immigration officials and long, long queues as you attempt to get into the country. And then, when you eventually get in, it seems as though everyone there with a menial job is an illegal immigrant. I'm always puzzled as to how they got in, but honestly, things haven't changed simply because of 9/11. In the mid-1950s, I was a deck apprentice on a cargo boat when we sailed into San Pedro in California. I was a well-brought-up English lad whose politics have not changed a lot over the years and would put me slightly to the right of Attila the Hun. I was just 16 years old and I was subjected to the most bullying type of grilling imaginable by an immigration official before being allowed to go ashore. Incidentally, my ship had already called at Tampa, Florida, and Houston in Texas, where I'd gone ashore without any problems, and my documents were stamped as such. I was asked no less than 5 times whether I was or had ever been a member of the Australian Labor Party, even though he had all of my documentation in front of him, and he could see at that time I'd never even visited Australia. I was a very frightened boy by the time this cross-examination had ended and he had signed my papers to allow me to visit the land of the free. I've told this tale many times since. You see, the name of that officious, sorry, I suppose I should say official, US immigration officer, was one Herman Hoyerstetter. 60 years on, that pig's orphan's name is still burned in my memory. Incidentally, a pig's orphan is a naval term that describes that bully to a T. And obviously that proud, all-American boy thought he was employed by the witchfinder general, Senator Joe McCarthy. But as I matured, I realised that America wasn't at all like that self-important, overbearing Jobsworth, and I've spent lots of time there as a visitor and love the place. I've crossed from east to west, north to south by car, coach, plane and train over many, many years, and I still find the place and the people fascinating. I query the driving force behind Obama's decision to use his visit to the UK this spring to urge the British public to vote to remain inside the EU at the upcoming referendum. Does he not know that the EU is unravelling? What are his advisers thinking of? Oh well, it can only help Brexit on Independence Day. Make sure you vote. What did the Moody Blues tell us? Nothing changes and nothing stays the same, and life is still a simple game. Thanks for listening. I'll see you again next week.